Hi, this is Pastor Matt, and I want to welcome you to our Blue Oaks Church podcast. At the end of this episode, feel free to download our Blue Oaks Church app, where you'll be able to access resources, events, and ways to get connected at Blue Oaks and in the community. The app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend, and it's the easiest way to keep up with everything going on around Blue Oaks. Most importantly, though, I just hope that you enjoy this episode and it inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. My name is Tina. I'm one of the pastors here at Blue Oaks. I want us to imagine if we had wine and bread here for Holy Communion, and no one was serving you. You had your glass and you could pour the wine. Do you think the Blue Oaks family here would get drunk? The church at Corinth got drunk. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20 to 22. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. For when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in, or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. You can see that Apostle Paul is upset with the Corinthian church, because some of them went ahead and they got drunk, while there were some others who could not even partake of the Holy Communion. But thanks to the Corinthian church, we will not get drunk. We are going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 to 26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The topic for today is new covenant. Did you know when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were entering into a covenant relationship with God? What is a covenant? A covenant is a legal binding agreement or a promise between two or more parties. Now, it's so wonderful to see the parents make a covenant with their baby. Now, how is that different from a promise? A promise is, okay, when you are good, you know, it's temporary. But a covenant is whatever it is, it's everlasting till the end of your life. Right? A covenant is a binding agreement. A rainbow in the sky reminds us of the covenant that God made with Noah and all the living things, that I am not going to destroy the earth with flood again. Similarly, when you partake in the Holy Communion, we are reminded of the new covenant that Jesus made with the people. Now, a promise, as I was saying, it is temporary, but a covenant is lasting. A promise, you're like, "Lord, give me a promise for my job." You know, he gives you a promise from the Word of God. But covenant doesn't change for different seasons. A covenant is permanent throughout. A covenant God makes with Abraham, it's everlasting. A covenant with David, it's everlasting. Now, the word promise is something that is very common to us. We don't use the word covenant, so it's not common. Now, if you remember, when we were small, most of us, we used the word pinky promise, right? So when our friend would come and say, for example, "Would you please help me with my homework? I'll give you a candy." And we're like, "I'm not sure if I can trust you, but pinky pinky promise. If they said pinky promise, we're like, I can trust you now. I can trust that you were going to give me a candy. But the next day they forget, and then they come back and they're like, no, if you help me with my homework again, I'm going to give you 5 candies, and you fall for that number 5. You're like, oh, that's a big number, pinky promise. But they fail again, right? But you soon realize it's not how big the promise is, but who is making that promise to you. Who is making this covenant? It's Jesus. It's Jesus who is making this covenant. He is faithful. He is someone you can trust. Now, in the world of digital signatures, for even legal documents, it's hard for us to understand what is a blood covenant. Jesus says here, it's not just a covenant, it is a covenant in the blood. The blood, it means, because life is in the blood. That's what in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 17 verse says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So as Jesus was giving his blood on the cross, every drop of it for us, he was giving it so that we could have life. He took his life so that we can have life. Now, the ancient people understood blood covenant. It was very common in their culture because the word covenant itself means cutting. The Hebrew word for that, berit, means cutting. Now, if 2 kingdoms, for example, my kingdom, I have around 100 soldiers. I want to make a covenant, but this time I want to make a blood covenant. A blood covenant means we are not 2 separate people. If I'm coming with a blood covenant with another king, which means that now we are going to function as one. So there is sometimes an animal sacrifice. Sometimes they have a cut and they make a blood covenant saying that if an enemy comes against me, so let's say an enemy of 200 soldiers, if they come against me, it's like coming against the king who had 10,000 soldiers. So do you think I'll win this battle? If I forget my covenant, I will lose the battle because I'm trying to fight it with my strength and I have only 100 soldiers. But if I remember the covenant that the other king is going to come and help me. That is why in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, you will see the prayer of David. He said, remember your covenant with me, God. I want you to remember your covenant with me. Or whenever the Israelites would go for battle, they would take the Ark of God with them. It's called the Ark of the Covenant with them. That would go ahead of them. They would remember the covenant. They are not a small nation. They are a nation that has covenant with God. And so now God is going to fight their battles. And if you are trying to fight your battles by your own strength, God wants to remind you, he has a covenant with you, and you are not fighting this battle by yourself. God Almighty is the one who is fighting your battles. Now, this is not just a covenant to the community by itself, but it's a covenant individually. It's a personal covenant. Just like how God gave Abraham a covenant, to David a covenant. As you partake of the Holy Communion, you remember this is a covenant Jesus is making with me. Tina, I'm making a covenant with you. I am your God. You are my daughter. This is a personal covenant that he is making. Now, before we get into the new covenant, we have to know what is the old. If there is a new, then there has to be an old covenant. Now, the Old Testament, the word testament itself is called covenant. Or the New Testament, the word testament is covenant. The Bible itself is divided into the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. So let's look into what is the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant is the agreement that God makes with the nation of Israel. God brings the people of Israel out of Egypt, and he invites Moses to Mount Sinai and tells him, I'm going to give you these laws, and give these laws to the people, and if they obey me fully, I'm going to bless them. They're going to be successful. They're going to be my treasured possession. So God makes a covenant with the nation of Israel. So you can read about it in Exodus chapter 19 through 24. I'm just going to read here a few verses. Exodus chapter 19, verse 3 to 8. Then Moses went up to God, and Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourself have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be called my treasured possession." I want you to see the covenant here is you will be called, that's the promise, you will be called my treasured possession, but the condition for this covenant was to keep, obey me fully. I'm going to continue reading. "Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. How many of us will respond like this? "We will do everything the Lord has said." It reminds me of a story of a husband and wife where a husband tells his wife, "Don't you think it would be amazing if I would climb Mount Sinai and from the top of the mountain I would scream out the Ten Commandments?" And the wife tells the husband, "You know what would be even more amazing? If you could just stay right here and keep those commandments." It's not easy to keep all the laws. How many laws are there in the Old Testament? Most of us know 10 commandments, but there are 613 laws in the Old Testament. Now, obey me fully. Then why was the Old Covenant then given? Why was the Old Testament laws then given? It was to point us that we, humanity, could not completely be righteous and be before God. We could not do that by our strength. And it pointed us to the Messiah. And the people were waiting for the Messiah because now they understood we don't have the strength to do it by ourselves. And so Prophet Jeremiah, he says, God is going to give you a new covenant. This was prophetic. When Jesus was telling the disciples about the new covenant, I want us to imagine the excitement that the disciples had when they heard that. The new covenant. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Jeremiah. And so let's see what Jeremiah the prophet had told the people in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 to 34. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. So we are going to look into these verses at the promises of the new covenant. So the first one, the sins are not remembered. I'm going to read that verse, the last verse again. Jeremiah 31, 34. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Which means that God does not remember our sins anymore. Completely we are forgiven. That was not the case in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, though the sin was covered, the guilt would not be removed. So year after year, any time they need to come to God, they need to bring the animal sacrifice. They could not just come into his presence. Even the high priest could not enter God's presence whenever he chose. God himself tells Moses, tell your brother Aaron, who is the high priest, that he cannot choose to come to my presence anytime. God tells the people of Israel, don't come even close to the mountain where I'm meeting up with Moses, because you will die. Nobody could come into the presence of God without God. So God chose very few specific people to come because the sin was in them. They were guilty of their sin because the sin was not washed. You will never find this word, take away your sins, in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the blood of Jesus has taken away our sins. That is why we don't have a guilty conscience. Now, if you struggle with guilt, and over again, I did that. I used to struggle with it. And Sunday after Sunday, I would come and I would cry for the same sin over and over. And like, Lord, I don't know if you've really forgiven me. I'm not sure. And I'm feeling guilty. And I would even feel unworthy to be part of the Holy Communion. Like, I don't think I'm worthy enough. The focus was all on me, whether I was worthy to take it. And when I understood the new covenant that said, Lord taught me that, Tina, I have washed you. I have cleansed you. You are no longer guilty. You have been made righteous. You have been made holy. You can come into my presence with confidence. With confidence. Not like the Old Testament. Not like the Old Testament high priest who could not go into God's presence with confidence. But I can come into his presence with confidence. You know, the only two people who remember their sin is the enemy who reminds you of it and you who remember it. But God says he has forgotten it. He has completely forgotten it and he has removed it. Now, consider that weight of sin that you may be carrying today. The New Testament is inviting you, New Covenant is inviting you to live a life free of that guilt. Let's look into the second promise. Laws are written on the heart. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. So in the Old Covenant, God gave the Ten Commandments on the stone, and with his fingers, he wrote it. Those Ten Commandments were given to Moses. So now when we read this, what does it mean when it says, now it is written in our heart? Is God engraving it in our heart? What does it mean by now It's written in our heart. Now, God wants, it's not, the Old Testament was about rules. The New Testament is about a relationship with God, where He wants you to now serve Him with your heart. It's now not, I should do this, but I want to do it. Because now I have received the love of the Father. The cross reminds me of the love of God. And now because He loves me and I have experienced the love of God, I want to do it. It's no longer I have to read the Bible, I have to pray, these are the chores I have to do. Now it comes by abiding. It's a relationship. Now I desire to do it. You know, Adam's sin in the garden made Adam go out of the garden. That relationship was broken. Bible says that God walked with Adam. And today He wants to restore that walk with us. Apostle Paul says that when you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. The walking with the Spirit, that's a relationship. There's a communication, just like how Jesus was with the disciples. Now, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, desires to be with us. And He will tell us the truth. He will counsel us. He will guide us. I'm going to go to the third point about this promise. It says, all will know me. Jeremiah 31, verse 34. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord. Because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. I want you to focus on that word know here. You know, you can hear me speak, but you will not say, I know Tina. There are just a few of you who can say that. Because if you want to know me, you will have to spend time with me. You will have to have a relationship with me. The Old Testament, very few people, the Bible says Abraham knew God, right? Moses knew God, but everyone could not know Him. But in the new covenant, the promise is, you are all going to know me. It's not just the pastors, the elders, the board members who will know God. What is the promise of the new covenant? You will all know me. How can we all know God? Because the Spirit of God is in us. Who knows God better than the Spirit of God? And God has now given us His Spirit that we can know Him. Now, growing up, I just thought Holy Spirit was a power. In my church, I saw people speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit. And so, or when the worship was going on, I had just goosebumps. I'm like, oh, that's the Spirit. But I did not know about fellowship with the Spirit. I did not know how to walk in the Spirit. I did not know what it meant when the disciples were not just filled with the Spirit, but they talked to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as if Jesus was with them. Even after the death and resurrection of Jesus, Holy Spirit was with the disciples. And if you read the book of Acts, you see a conversation there. Holy Spirit telling them, don't go there to Macedonia, go here to Asia now, and then directing them, counseling them, guiding them. And when I learned that, when I understood that, I was like, I want to build this relationship with the Holy Spirit. I want my children to build this relationship with the Holy Spirit where we can talk with Him. We can walk with Him. He communicates with us. Just like how Jesus was with the disciples, Holy Spirit is here with you and in you that we all will know Him. That is the promise of this new covenant. So what was the purpose of this new covenant? The purpose of the new covenant is to build that relationship. It was for relationship. Adam lost that walk with the Lord, and God was restoring that walk with us through this new covenant that everybody can walk with him. Now, instead of telling my children, don't do this, that's not how the old covenant worked. I remind them about the relationship. Did you talk to God about it? Did you talk to the Holy Spirit about it? And when my daughter calls me from college and tells me, Mama this, Mama that, you know, what should I do? I said, I'm so happy that you share with me, but have you talked about this to the Holy Spirit? Because I want to build that relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because tomorrow I may be busy, or there may be things that she would not be able to share with me, but I want her to know that she has the Holy Spirit who is with her all the time. I want you to know that. That is the promise of this new covenant. And to have a confidence, as we said, to come before God, know that we are washed, know that we are cleansed, know that every time God is right here with us, in us. That's the promise of the new covenant. Now, what is the condition or the demand of the new covenant? The demand of the old covenant, we read, you have to obey all the laws. That was the demand of the old covenant. But the demand of the new covenant is, believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Receive him as your Lord and Savior, and you can be part of this new covenant. If today you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as you partake of this new covenant, the communion, the Holy Communion, it is a reminder to you, Lord, as I'm partaking of this, I remember your covenant. I remember your covenant with me. I love it when people when married couples renew their covenant after a few years. And when you read the Old Testament, there was this king. He was the youngest king. He was only 8 years old when he became king, King Josiah. But he was so wise. When the priest told him about the old covenant, he said, I want to renew this covenant with God. Because we have not been keeping this covenant. I want to renew this covenant with God. And today, if Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, and he's inviting you to renew the covenant with God, would you like to stand now? And if there is anyone here who has not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and if you want to be part of this new covenant, say, I want to be part of this new covenant, then would you stand now? We are going to say this prayer together. The prayer is going to be on the screen. And let's say this together. Lord Jesus, I receive you as the Lord and Savior of my life. I believe that you died for my sins, and I'm completely forgiven. I believe you were resurrected, and I'm healed of my guilty conscience. I am righteous, holy, and blameless because of the blood of Jesus. I believe the Holy Spirit is in me and will never leave me. He will guide, counsel, and help me understand the truth from God's word. I surrender my life to you, Jesus, and I choose to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. The grace of Jesus, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit are with me forever. Today, I am a new creation under the new covenant. Amen. Let me pray over us. Abba Father, I just thank you so much for talking to us through your word, revealing to us about the new covenant. Thank you that we are washed by the blood of Jesus. Our conscience is cleansed, that we have the confidence. We can confidently come before your throne of grace. When you see us as righteous, holy, blameless in your sight. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who is with us and in us. We praise you, Abba Father. Thank you that you look at us and say, you are my son, you are my daughter, and I am so pleased with you. Thank you, Abba Father. We surrender ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, once again, thanks for listening. We hope you found something in this week's message to take away and apply to your life this week. If you live in the Bay Area, we would love to have you join us for one of our weekend services. For directions or information about what we have for you or your family, your students, you can go to blueoaks.church or download the app today. And we hope to see you on Sunday soon.